Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's February 23rd, almost the end of the month. Three more weeks till spring, maybe four. Depends on where you're at. NASCAR kicked off the season this weekend with all three series opening up at the Daytona International Raceway. And coming up, we're going to have a very special guest, Sarah Cornett Ching, who drove in the ARCA series at Daytona last weekend. So she didn't have too good a finish, but we'll get to her about her experience at NASCAR and her first trip to Daytona. And how she thought of her first run there. We'll get a history of on her and see what she thought of everything right there. So we're going to wait for her to call in and tell us her story, how she got into racing, because she comes all the way from British Columbia. So it's not one of the racing meccas that we know of here. And on the East Coast, and how she ran in the Lucas Oil 200, starting 32nd and finishing 33rd and finishing 31st. So not bad for her first trip out. So we'll have to wait and see when she calls in a couple minutes to tell us her side of things. The NHRA was in action as well out in Phoenix. So there we'll have the results with them. Of course, Matt Hague and Tony Schumacher did win the top fuel class over the weekend. Matt Hague also taking the funny car around. We'll go with the top fuel ladders here and see when Sarah is about to call in. Fuel division. Schumacher had to go through Jenna Haydick, another female up-and-comer in the top fuel division, then through Spencer Massey and Antron Brown to face Doug Coletta, who had to go through Clay Milliken. Second-round opponent was Brittany Force. He beat her by 0.02. Then up against last week's winner, Sean Langdon, to face Tony Schumacher. Schumacher getting the top fuel division. Matt Hagen in the funny car division. Had to go through Jeff Deal in round one and Cruz Pedregon in round two. Alexis DeJoria in the semifinals and then on the face Del Worsham, who's travels went through John Hale in round one, Chad Head in round two. Went through Robert Height, who made it all the way in round three. It's funny, Robert Height had first two rounds against his teammates, John Force in one and Courtney Force in two. So he made it to the semifinals, and then Worsham lost to Hagen with a 3.97 for Hagen's run at a 4.01. Pretty good drag race there coming down to the light. So even though it was a about a half a tenth of the on the ET, it was still close race. Reaction time on that was Fagan had an 0.45 to Worsham's 0.62. So made for a bigger gap than you would have thought. In the pro stock division, Kendra Stevens again qualifying number one, the defending champ. Made it all the way through to the finals against Roger Brogdon, who was the second top qualifier. He wound up going Derek Kramer round one and then Shane Gray in round two. Semifinals, he went up against Drew Skillman before facing Erica Enders, who had a pretty consistent night running the 650s, run a 657 against Joey Gross, against her former nemesis, Craig Anderson, in round one, 657 to a 660. Round three in the semifinals, she had a 657 with a 5 to McGay Hayes, 6-9 with a 3. And then in the finals, she even had the better reaction time, running a 6.64 to Roger Brogdon, 6.56. So she kind of slowed up a bit there in the other round, but still made it down there, only to fall a little short. We'll get to the points a little bit later. But right now, I'd like to welcome to the show a very special guest, first-timer here on Garage Talk Live, an up-and-coming racing career kicking off in the Lucas Oil 200 at Daytona for the ARCA Series, a young lady by the name of Sarah Cornett-Ching. Sarah, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. You hail from British Columbia. It's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum there, not known. I guess down here we've not known much for a racing mecca. What got you started in racing?
Yeah, certainly not as big the racing up there as it is down here. We travel a lot more to get to the tracks, and I got started in racing because my dad had been racing since I was 1 year old, and there's a track about 15 minutes from our house, so naturally it was something that I got involved in as well.
What's your progression before coming to the ARCA Series? I guess your ultimate goal is to make it into the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. But
that's definitely the goal. I started running four-cylinder cars at our home track in Penticton at Penticton Speedway, and then I moved up to street stock. Ran those for a few years, and I raced double duty running a late model on street stock. And I ran late model for a few more years, and I got to run a NASCAR Canadian Tire Series race a few years ago, and now we're stepping into the ARCA Series, so that's pretty exciting.
Well, was your earlier rounds on a dirt track or asphalt?
I don't have any dirt experience, believe it or not. It's been all asphalt, so that'll be something new to me for sure.
Well, as long as you stick with the asphalt, you'll be all right. I wouldn't worry about running any dirt tracks. I know ARCA runs a couple of dirt tracks, and so if you're running the whole ARCA series, then you'll get the taste of them. So, but the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, a lot of road course work there. And how many ovals do you run in that series?
I only ever ran one race with them, so I just ran at Motoplex Speedway. But the majority of their series is on road courses, and they have about three or four ovals in that series as well.
So then coming to Daytona must have been a bit of a shock getting out there running at those speeds.
Yeah, Daytona was something totally new to me. The big speedway and the banking, the drafting, that's all something that I've never gotten to do before. So it was a new experience, lots of learning, and we had a good time. The car came away in one piece, so can't ask for much more than that.
That's for sure. I was watching you. They even had the camera focused in on you a little bit on the TV. Then something happened. You had to come back in the pits, and it wound up setting you back a bit. You still wound up finishing better than you started in 31st.
Yeah, unfortunately, right off the bat there, we had an ignition problem. The car never actually got up to speed, so I had to come down pit road and They got it fixed right away, but we went down a few laps, which is unfortunate. But at the same time, I got to still do some drafting and some practice running with other cars, and we never lost any more laps after that. We were able to stick with the lead lap at that point. So it was definitely a learning experience. I got to do some things that I'd never done before, and we're going to take that to Talladega and work from there.
It sounds like a lot of fun. When you first got out there and you started just doing your practice runs before qualifying, did you think when about trying to figure out how to draft, did you have some coaching from the pits and your team, or basically just play follow the leader and learn on your own?
I got a bit of advice from my team and from my spotter and the guys that were working with me. So I had a bit of knowledge going into it, but it was definitely a new feeling. Like the wind on the cars and the way that they react is totally different than anything I'm used to. Even just driving off onto that banking is like the G-force of that is nothing like what I've felt before. So, I mean, everything is new, but at the same time, you know, it's something you pick up pretty quickly, I guess. It wasn't that bad.
How'd you like going 200 miles an hour? That was a blast.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I mean, you kind of put it out of your mind after you get a few laps, you know, into practice or whatever. You don't really realize how fast you're going anymore. It seems maybe it's just something that you get used to, but definitely at first it was something exciting, I guess.
So is the team you're with, is this a home-based team, or is it a team from the United States that took you on the compete in the race this a weekend ago, I should say now?
Yeah, they're based in North Carolina. It's Tony Blanchard's car with Race 101. So they've got the car down in North Carolina. They got a few other cars there as well. So we'll be making a few other starts this season. We're planning to run 10 races, Talladega being the next one.
Well, fortunately, being you were driving at Daytona, Talladega is more of kind of the same ilk, just a little longer, a bit faster, and I think you can run pretty much wide open. I think Daytona is a little more, from what they say, is from what I've seen, is it might need a little more handling characteristics, where at Talladega you can run flat out, so you get a little more draft experience. How did you like drafting away? Is it anything comparable? I mean, I know it's not comparable as far as the speeds go, but getting tucked in tight and using that draft to your advantage as opposed to something you do on a shorter track?
Yeah, there's definitely a different element to it. I mean, you're on the gas and you can get tucked up behind someone and you know, work the throttle and control where you're going to be behind them and control how much you push them to the next car. So there's a whole bunch of different stuff to it. You really rely on your spotter a lot for that. So definitely something new. Like I said, everything that we learned at Daytona, we're going to be able to take to Talladega and use to be even better when we go there.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, Tony Blanchard's ARCA team, you're going to run 10 races there. And what are some of the other tracks they have picked out for you to run?
We're looking at running Pocono and Chicagoland and pretty much all the televised races for the year.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
Exactly, yeah. So that's the plan, and hopefully we can even work a few more in, and we'll see. We're working on a few things, trying to make it a fuller season, but for now, 10 races.
That's pretty good. Pocono's a little bit different. I used to go to races there years ago when I was your age.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go every year and used to have back then they used to run 500 mile for, you know, back then it was the Winston Cup Series. ARC had run the prelims on Saturday. And that was always a good race. You got three different distinct turns, three different lengths and widths of straightaway. It's almost like one of the announcers called it a roval, because it's like a road course, but it's an oval. But they call it, now it's branded the tricky triangle, which it is. It's only got three turns. So each one's different. So that ought to be something. Maybe you take it up and do one of those. Not that you need to learn to go to school, but just to get some track time unofficially. You know, one of them race. I think they have a racing school up there where you can take cars out and get the feel of it, and then you'd have some notes to take back. But
The iRacing is pretty helpful too. Get on there and you get to practice those tracks and just get a feel for maybe breaking points and things like that as well. So yeah, there's definitely different ways to get prepared for tracks, but coming into this year, pretty much every track we run on is going to be something new, you know, a new track for me. So it's all a learning experience this year.
Now you do the iRacing to get prepared. Does your setup have basically, is it like a car seat and it moves with you when you're doing the driving, or is it just one of those where it's the video screen and?
Yeah, pretty basic. Maybe as we get a little further into it, we might upgrade and get something that moves around and stuff. But for now, it's just pretty basic. Does the trick though.
That's a good thing. So you get a feel of everything. With it, just I don't know. Unless you have one of those really big screen TVs and feel, it's hard, I guess, it would kind of hard to feel like you're in the car. But that's, you know, that's to me. I don't do the iRacing. Maybe I should, just to get to learn the hang of things. But how did it transfer going from, we'll say, the iRacing to the actual track at Daytona?
There's a few things you can take from it. Like, not everything is similar, but you can definitely get a feel for the way, you know, like your visual points and references and things like that. And I mean, you can kind of feel some of the air stuff and that, but it's certainly nothing like the actual feeling of going 200 miles an hour. So,
yeah, that's about that and the pit stops, I guess. That's another key thing, I guess. The team has to get used to, with you and the cars, when the pit, and, you know, and how, I don't know what Arthur's specific rules were. I know NASCAR right now has electronic pit monitoring, so, and there was a bunch of people got penalized in the 500 for silly things like getting in the pit box too soon and all that, so I don't know how that works in the ARCA series. Did you, how many pit stops were you able to make during the race?
We had to come down pit road a few more times than we wanted to, like with the ignition problem that we had, and then we made two other stops. So that's new to me, too. I mean, in the late model, we run 100 laps, and we don't have to stop. If you do have to stop, it's usually because you've had a problem. So the pit stop thing is new to me. I think I slid through my stall one time, so we won't be making that mistake again. But something new every time, I guess.
You know what they say, practice makes perfect, and being it was your first race at a super speedway, I think you did pretty good considering where your beginnings were and running up in Canada as far as, you know, different series that don't equate to anything that like this that you haven't been to before. So the fact that you finished started even with the problems you had, you want to be commended.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Yeah, we're certainly not quitters, so just get back out there and just try to improve every time I get on the track and every time that I do something, you know, for a second time. I just try to make sure it's better than the first time, and we just roll from there. So improvement's key.
So now are you living in Carolina, or you still live in British Columbia?
I'm actually headed up there right now for a few weeks. We're going to do some testing and fit the seat in a few other cars and get some things ready for the upcoming season. So I'll be there for a little while, yeah.
Are you headed back to British Columbia or headed down to Charlotte now?
To North Carolina, yeah.
Oh, you're headed to North Carolina. Now, we're about in
British
Columbia.
Yeah, we're just leaving Florida today, yeah.
So we're about in British Columbia. Are you from?
I grew up in Summerland, which is, it's pretty southern British Columbia, west coast. It's a very nice place there. It's in the valley.
Okay, because I'm pretty familiar with where Vancouver is. So you're between Vancouver and Washington, the state?
Yeah, we're about 4 hours east of Vancouver and about 4 hours north of Washington State.
Okay. Now I can get a picture of where it's at. So cold weather is nothing to you. So leaving Florida for North Carolina, where the temperature drops about 30 degrees from what you started out with in Florida, it looked like everybody was wearing coats down there for doing the ARCA race. So,
yeah, well, it was a little bit cold when we were in Florida, but it's certainly nothing compared to what I'm used to back home.
Were you running around in, I mean, even though it was cold in Florida, to you it must have been warm. You probably run around laughing at everybody.
I don't know if it's any warmer for me, but I think I'm just more used to it and I don't complain as much.
Yeah, down there, Florida is, outside of racing, it's the place where all the old people from here go because they can't handle the cold.
Yes, no
words. We call it God's waiting room. You know? That's where the old people
there
go
you
to
go.
Die. But as you get further north, you know, the tendency has been a chance to get pretty chilly from this year's weather. So hopefully you can stay in a warmer area. I know that the racing season has a tendency to tailor itself to the warmer tracks in the winter and the ones further north in the summer. I guess you're going to do any racing between Daytona and Talladega for up there or down here somewhere, local tracks?
We're trying to put together more races on the ARCA schedule, so if that comes through, then we'll be able to run the other three races between now and Talladega. But as far as it stands right now, we're just still working on a few things. But I'm happy to have Pit Stops for Hope on the car at Daytona and Brutus Truck Body's on board as well. So we're really working hard to try to make more races happen.
Good to hear, and welcome to the ARCA series. I wish you a lot of success, and hope you'll become a regular guest on the show, and we'll keep up on how you're doing.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, I know a buddy of mine who handles some of my guest bookings reached out to you, but so you can go right through me now on Facebook. So good old Facebook.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you.
And they didn't have this stuff when I was your age.
Yeah, I guess so. All kind of just new. Social media is the next thing.
I think it's not quite the next thing. I think it's here now. It's the thing anymore. So, but you gotta hang with the times. And fortunately, I'm willing to do that instead of some of my old curmudgeon-y friends that don't want to mess with it. So I guess what we'll do then, we'll try to get in contact with you and maybe before, right after Talladega, into it, you thought of that track and have you back on this. Not just, we'll keep in touch through Facebook and glad to have you on for your debut on Garage Talk Live.
Perfect. I really appreciate you having me on today.
And if your friends want to listen to it, the show does go to podcast after 10 p.m. tonight. So if they miss the show, you can tell them same link. Just go to the first show that's on the list, and that'll be the latest one up. So if they missed it tonight, they can go check you out there.
It's about that on my Facebook so everyone can go on and check it out.
All right. Thank you very much, Sarah. And like I said, good luck at Talladega, and hope you can get some more sponsorship to get some more races on the schedule, because we'd like to see you get out there and start making the move up through the ranks, and hopefully you can battle Danica for the best woman driver in NASCAR.
Exactly. That's the plan. So thank you very much, and have a good night. I'll talk to you later.
All right. You take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
There you have it. Sarah Cornett-Chang running in the ARCA series for this year is her first year there. She wound up in 31st after starting 33rd, but she did have wind up four laps down, so who knows where she would have finished had she been able to stay on the lead lap. And she might have been in the top 20, so good to get her on the air and promote some of these young and up-and-coming drivers. Of course, the winner of that race was Grant Enfinger from GMS Motorsports with the with the Alamo Rent-A-Car Chevy. He was followed by Daniel Suarez, who ran the Aris Toyota. He also ran the Nationwide race and caused a big wreck in that one. I think he ran the truck race as well. So he's running development for Joe Gibbs. So he's somebody they're running through the system there. Brett Hudson finished third in that race. Cody Coughlin was fourth. Frank Kimmel, the winningest driver and has the most championships, came home fifth. He's never won Daytona, which is kind of hard to believe. But that's one of the only races he's never won was the Lucas Oil 200. Sixth was Mason Mitchell. Seventh, Matt Kuzarzewski. Hope I pronounced his name right. Scott Sheldon. Ninth, Josh Williams. And rounding out the top ten, Will Kimmel. Cherry Hill, New Jersey's Tom Hessert was 11th. The only reason why I'm giving him a mention is he's from my old neck of the woods. Up in the South Jersey area, Cherry Hill is only a few miles from where I was. So he was from that area, so we'll give him a plug. He's in the running in the ARCA series. I thought he was going to move up to NASCAR, but ARCA, the money is, it doesn't cost as much for some reason. Okay, back to the points, as I was talking about with the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, which is your nitro burners and then your pro stock cars. And, of course, the pro stock motorcycles haven't run yet, so we can't give you them. Sean Langdon still holds down the top spot, 33 ahead of Antron Brown. Schumacher, the Sarge, 35 back, pulled in a little closer. Kalita is fourth. He's 45 back. Spencer Massey, fifth. He's 70 back. Richie Crampton is sixth. He's 85 back. Larry Dixon is seventh. He's 94 back. Tied for eighth is J.R. Todd and Steve Torrance at 112 back. And in 10th spot, Brittany Force. She's 115 back. Leah Pritchett, Dave Connolly, Troy Buff, Terry McMullen, and Clay Milliken round out the top 15. Dave Connolly, it's his first time. He's running in Top Fuel, moving up from Pro Stock. He was once Erica Enders Stevens' crew chief, and then he ran against her, and then at the end of the year, and then the year after that, he ran against her as well, and this year he's running in the Top Fuel division. In the Funny Car division, Matt Hagen holds down the top spot. Del Worsham is 58 back. Robert Height in third at 86 back. Ron Capps in fourth, 102, minus 102. Courtney Force, minus 108. She's in fifth. Tommy Johnson Jr. is sixth. He is 113 back. Alexis DeGioia is his seventh. She's 121 back. Pedregon in eighth, 138 back. Ninth, a tie for ninth with John Hale and Chad Head, both 149 back. The top 15, John Force out of the top 10. Hard to believe after running in the top. He's listed as a test, so I guess he wasn't running a Chevy, or he's trying something else. I don't know. Tony Pedregon, 12th, 13th, Wilkerson, Bob Bodie, and then Jack Beckman. In the Pro Stock Series, Roger Brogdon has taken over the lead from Erica Ender Stevens, 21 points difference there. That difference is winning that final round because it's 20 points per round, and one bonus point for qualifying second, where she was the number one qualifier. So he dropped the second. Jason Line, last year's runner-up, he was 27 back. Drew Skillman in fourth, he's 28 back. There's a little crunch, points crunch right there between second through fourth, so that could swap around. Kristen Gay-Hay, 75 back in fifth. Shane Gray in sixth, 97 back. Alan Johnson was 98 back. Larry Morgan is eighth. He's 116 back. Greg Anderson, he's ninth. He's 119 back. And then Vincent Nobile in 10th. He's 139 back. The rest of the top, the 11 through 15 is Jonathan Gray, Jimmy Allen, V Games, Joey Gross, Matthew Hartford, and Derek Kramer. So we should have our old co-host, Kristen Buzinski, joining us in a couple minutes. So be good to talk to her. Haven't talked to her in quite some time. So we'll get to the NASCAR coverage and talk about that. What a weekend it has been. The Ford sweep. Who would have thought it? Everybody else was thinking Chevy, 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 and it turns out it was Ford, Ford, Ford. If you go to the truck series, it turned out to be Tyler Reddick driving the number 19 draw tile Ford for Brad Keselowski Racing. He wound up taking the checkered flag in the truck series, and on Saturday in the Xfinity series, turned out to be Ryan Reed, who we had on here last season, or earlier, either last season or the season before we had him on. He was driving for Lily Diabetes and Diabetes. I'm thinking, if I hear that, I think it, anybody remember Wilford Brimley, Diabetes. Take your blood, take it off. He always did those commercials, but he wound up taking the Xfinity Series, the number 16 Ford for Roush Fenway, and then, of course, Joey Logano, sliced bread, outlasting Dale Jr., Kevin Harvick, and the rest of them for the honors of being first winner of the season, getting put into the chase. It was a little sketchy for him, but he managed to hold it off. At one point there, towards the end of the race there, when they were three wide, eight rows deep, you'd wonder, the big one's coming, the big one's coming. It was just amazing how clean that race was. I think there were only five or six cautions for basically nothing. A couple of blown motors, two of them forged late in the race. Brad Keselowski lost the motor in the team, the Wood Brothers car with Ryan Blaney in it, lost the motor. They're teamed up with Team Penske. It used to be with Roush. When Trevor Brain won the Daytona 500 with him. Now they have Ryan Blaney, and they're hooked up with Team Penske, so that gives them a third light car that they could share info with. So I know Roger Penske only running two there. And who would have thought the only Bush in the 500 was Danica? No Kurt, no Kyle. Kyle got hurt. Kurt got suspended. It was just one of those things that I feel bad for Kyle, though, because he was running pretty good in the Nationwide. Here I go again. Xfinity Series race when he got turned went head on into the wall. Now, I thought there was a safer barrier at that point in the track, but a lot of comments I saw on social media acted like there wasn't. So I think that's going to be a rule change. I mean, he did suffer a compound fracture. It looked like his right leg, that was the one that was trussed up the most, and compound's the ugly one, and the bone sticks out. There was a bit of surgery to have to put that back into place, and pins and screws, and be triggering all the metal detectors at the airports. So, anyway, give us a call. 646-649-1899, and we'll be right back after these words.
Casey's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cadence uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
Yeehaw! Y'all want a date with an international model? Well, Hillbilly Horror Show is going to make it happen.
Hooray!
That's right, we're having ourselves a contest. And the winner gets an all-expense-paid trip to Hollywood and a date with international swimsuit model and star of Hillbilly Horror Show, actress Rachel Faulkner.
You are going to make some guy so happy.
Head on over to HillbillyHorrorShow.com for details and be sure to catch Hillbilly Horror Show Volume 2 on DVD February 17th.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live, getting ready to go through the truck series. Tyler Reddick taking the number one spot in the draw tight Ford for Brad Keselowski Racing. Number two, Eric Jones driving the number four Toyota owned by Kyle Busch, I believe. Scott Lagacy Jr., independent runner, so he's not running for points in this series. Takes third spot. Fourth was Austin Terrio in the number four truck and the number 29 truck. Fifth place, Ray Black Jr. David Gilliland won in the truck race this time. He was in sixth. Brian Stiles running seventh. Eighth was Matt Crafton. Ninth, Daniel Suarez. And 10th, Johnny Sauter. Ty Dillon, who started from the pole in the 33, finished 11th. Jennifer Jo Cobb, a good run for her. She finished 18th. Started 11th, had a good run, but had something catch fire under the hood and had to come to the pits. So she kind of dodged the big wreck at that one point in the race. But she didn't she did wind up 33 laps down, so I mean 27 laps down if I can do my math right. And but kept the truck in one piece. The Camping World Truck Series points as they stand. It's Tyler Reddick with 48 points. Over second place, Eric Jones. Reddick getting all the bonus points, 5 total. Jones not leading a lap at all, so therefore He doesn't get. He finishes with 42 points, which is second place points. Austin Terrio, Ray Black Jr., Brian Silas, Matt Crafton in sixth, Johnny Sauter in seventh. Season's still young yet. You can't count just Daytona. Corbin Forrester in eighth, Tyler Young and Norm Benning in tenth. A lot of new names in that list. Garner. I don't see Ron Hornaday Jr. or anything like that. Well, I'd like to welcome to the show, or back to the show, I should say, my good friend and co-hostess, Kristen Liebzinski, who is tending to her little one. And he's probably all wore out by now that he's doing that snowboarding.
Hey, Vince. Hey, everyone listening. Yeah, he's getting good, though, Vince. I'm telling you right now. He's had, I don't know, maybe 7 lessons total, maybe 8. I lost count because everything keeps getting switched around with all the crazy weather we have up here. But he's doing great. I keep telling him he's the next Shaun White.
That'd be good. I see gold medals and big endorsement deals. He'll be taking care of mommy instead of mommy taking care of him in a few years.
Hey, that would be nice. And all my running around will be much more worth it in the end.
So did you ever catch any of that? I guess, did you get to catch the activity down at Daytona this weekend?
I did. I watched pretty much every event that was on. kind of sounds like, kind of funny, but what a race to the finish that was, with all of the different flags that were thrown throughout the time, you know, Daytona was going on, with the Bush brothers, and, I mean, you name it, it happened.
I mean, it was story after story. I guess the only Bush in the Daytona 500 was Danica.
Oh, I had to think about that one for a minute.
I was wondering, did I piss her off? She gonna hang out for me or what? But you got
think about it for a minute. yeah, but no, it was just absolutely crazy from one end to the other. But I have to say that, man, Joey Logano can drive, and
I know. I mean, you know, and here's the thing about it, too. He was worried because when Brad's car blew up and then Ryan Blaney in with the Wood Brothers car, when that motor blew up, there was two Fords that are, you know, Wood Brothers are now associated with Penske instead of Roush Fenway. So Joey was getting a little worried there.
Yeah, I bet he was. He was probably thinking to himself, I am next. Like, that's it.
Because they were calling in the pits, and from what they said was saying on the radio transmission, he was wondering if something he could do to adjust for that. But I think what happened was maybe Brad's car in the draft got a little too overheated and blew up there, and I don't know what happened with the 21 to cause it to blow, but I mean, this was late in the race, too. You know, you figure crunch time, it's going to happen, and it didn't. And then with that three wide, eight rows deep, you're waiting for the big one to happen, and I'm saying, who's going to screw this one up? But fortunately, they made it till the white flag came out before. It looks like Austin Dillon got into Gordon there and took him out, which is kind of anticlimactic. He led most of the laps. It was his final Daytona 500. He started from the pole. The only thing he had left to do was make his way back to the front to win it, and he was never able to do that.
No. I would have liked to have seen him, you know, pull it off, but I thought it was too good to be true. There's too many strong, strong cars on Sunday. I mean, you know, yes, there were some that had some long stretches leading, but during that one part where, I mean, it was it was Denny, then it was, you know, Joey, and then it just kept going back and forth and back and forth. I'm like, wow, this is anyone's race right now.
I know it got a little bit lame in the early part when Gordon was leading the 87 laps, and then Jimmy Johnson had his share, and then Junior had his share. But then it started to get interesting. It always gets interesting as you get towards the end of the race, because then everybody starts to bunch up. People are starting to make their move. And
yeah.
Got me, and I was watching as well, like as far as, you know, everybody's making their move. There's Danica. She was running pretty much top 15, and then all of a sudden she faded back. And then if you watched her during the duels, when Denny got to her back bumper and she went sideways, that, you know, she got to learn to draft or learn when to push and when not to push, because, I don't know, with her being her last year, which, you know, this is her last year of her contract, is she going to stay in the sport or move on?
Right. What was your feeling? What was your feeling on what happened between her and Denny?
I think what happened was he went up the tuck in. He probably bumped her in the turn, and he shouldn't have, maybe, but she shouldn't have lost it that easy, I don't think. But from what they were saying is, you know, when you're in the banking like that, it's just so easy to get turned, and that's what happened. So was he at fault? Should he have stayed out of it? Who knows? If she backed out just before him getting in contact with her or not? Because, you know, when you're watching it on TV, you just kind of see the after effect, because sometimes they don't catch it right when it happens. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I really couldn't tell, really, who... Yeah, I saw her point in it, in the argument with Denny, and I saw his point in it too. And you know, I think it's just all about timing and speed and where you are on the racetrack and the situation at hand.
Like if he got to her going into the turn and she was starting to make the cut move, then, you know, then it's his fault.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause with the NASCAR rules the way they are, that cars are a little light. Even though they said they didn't have any rules changes on the cars from last year, it sure seems like the driving was a little different. But it was an exciting finish to the race. As far as the duels go, they were kind of predictable. I'm surprised that, you know, Gordon didn't need to worry about winning that race because he was on the front row anyway, so Junior won that. Put him in the third spot, then Jimmy Johnson won his. He was on the front row anyway, so.
Yeah. Right. Well, let me ask you your opinion on this, Vince. What did you think about the, let's start first with the Kurt Busch situation. Because I know you and I have talked about this before, when it all first went down. And what do you think about it? Do you think the timing was just impeccable on this one, in the sense of, okay, we're going to suspend him, what, less than 48 hours before the Daytona 500?
Yeah, I think that was kind of weird. I mean, they said there may have been something involved. That, you know, it wasn't definitive that he hit her, but I guess NASCAR, I mean, for him to pull the rug out, you figure that throws Stuart Haas into a bind. A, they got to find another driver. You know, there's a guy that did make the chase last year, and I don't know. Throughout the season, everything I read on it, it was kind of sketchy. I mean, everybody was laughing when he called her a trained assassin, but if you look at her background and her training with security firms and tactical operations, she even owns a tactical company, so I don't know how much truth there is. Did anybody see her after the fact? Because that's the thing that came into question, is how sore was she? If he apparently smashed her face into a wall, that would show some sort of physical marks, and you never really heard anything like that. I mean,
no, and I know that was something you and I talked about, because the reports were that she went to a motorhome next door to seek help. So who was in that motorhome? Who gave her that help? So are there things and details that we're not hearing that are not coming out? And, you know, drew NASCAR to this conclusion? Because, I mean, everywhere on social media, I personally haven't seen one thing in support of NASCAR's decision. I don't know about you.
No, I haven't either. As a matter of fact, everybody's saying Kurt was getting, you know, NASCAR was basically screwed Kurt. He should have, they should have let him, you know, say he got a raw deal on that one, especially on something that was, you know, they said, well, you know, like something happened, but we don't know what or how bad, but we're going to suspend him indefinitely for conduct detrimental to NASCAR or auto racing. Is I got the thing in my email with the exact conduct detrimental to racing or something like that. Well, that was really off the track. It really wasn't detrimental to racing, but after what happened with the NFL and Ray Rice and all that, I think they were kind of trying to, you know, stay out of anything that might be controversial that way. So make a you know, what they call zero tolerance call on it to cover themselves. You can't really blame them on that either. But
no, and you know, I get all that, Vince. But I mean, come on, don't we have some double standards going on here with this? You know what I mean? I mean, and what was his name, Travis, who was arrested and charged with and found guilty of domestic violence.
Was it Quaffle?
Yeah,
he's still racing. He was, as a matter of fact, he was just in, I think, the Truck Series race.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know what if any punishment was handed down to him as far as NASCAR goes when that happened. However, you know, he's still racing, and he was charged. He was found guilty. The way it was described to everyone through the media, it was a very serious incident. And I just don't, I mean, Kurt Busch hasn't even been charged. He's not even been charged with anything. This was just a ruling handed down by the family court of Delaware, you know, saying that he needed to stay away from her and yada, yada, yada. But he was not arrested. I mean, so my whole thing is, and, you know, I thought for sure that I would get some backlash for sort of defending Kurt when it comes to this, because I am a woman and I should be standing up for women's rights and domestic violence and all that. But, I mean, come on, the man hasn't been charged with anything. This is basically right now a hearsay or he said, she said type deal.
And it's been said about her is the fact that she might have been able to kick his ass.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I mean, you know, who knows? I saw this, I don't know if you saw that YouTube video that they released of her. I mean, that girl, she's tough chick.
I know.
She's tough chick. I wouldn't want to meet her in an alleyway by myself.
Yeah. Especially unarmed.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I mean,
yeah,
you know, let me ask you this, Vince. Let me ask you this. Do you think that the same thing and would be happening right now if this was, say, a Jimmy Johnson, who has such a clean-cut record in the sense of his relationship with his fans, his relationship with people, his relationship with NASCAR, his relationship with the other drivers. You know, Kurt Busch already had a target on his back because of his behavior.
Yeah, if his name was Gordon Johnson or Earnhardt, I think NASCAR wouldn't have done it, especially with Earnhardt with Junior Nation coming down on them, boy.
I don't know. I'm not in agreement of what is going on right now as far as Kurt Busch goes. But, hey, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And I think you're right. It's the whole zero tolerance thing. It's the whole thing that's happened recently with NFL that has caused this and forced NASCAR, I think, to make this decision to cover their own butt in the end.
Yeah, that's just the thing. I think they're trying to stay out of trouble. Like, they don't want to get in the same trouble the NFL did. And they say, see, we have controls over our stuff. But, yeah, they do show their favorites. The one I really feel bad for, too, is Kyle Busch getting hurt like that. Compound fracture.
That was nasty. That was a nasty wreck, Vince. I mean, as soon as you realize that he hit that part of the track with no safety barriers, you knew he was not going to walk away from that unharmed. I'm sorry. He hit hard.
That's the thing, though. I thought there were safer barriers at that part of the track. He got out of the car and was standing on his own 2 feet like when the crew got to him.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, see, now, I didn't see that part of it because I missed the actual wreck happening. I was actually coming back into my room, and they said something about Kyle seeing the wall, da-da-da, and then they replayed it. And I was like, holy cow.
Oh, yeah, he hit it a ton, but he got out of the car and looked like on his own, and then he was standing up, and then, you know, they came down and pulled out the stretcher, and then next time you saw him, his right leg was all... you know, harnessed down, and they were getting ready to load it into the ambulance. But he hit that wall a ton. I usually hit the wall like that. If there was no safer barrier, I don't think, you know, that's that kind of Dale Earnhardt type of impact from, you know, because he just almost stopped dead. And when you have an impact like that, it's not how hard you hit, it's how fast you stop when you hit it. And that car brunched there.
Right. Yeah, he hit that pretty good. And, I mean, have they said if he's out indefinitely, like, or have they said anything about his condition?
No, yeah, you figure he's going to be out for quite a while. They've had to require surgery to repair the compound. You figure that's opening the leg up, then they have to plate it and screw it down, and then there's rehab after that and all that happy crap. When he does come back, if he has a year... He had it at the wrong time of year, like when Stewart had his in the sprint car. It was later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So he had, like, the end of the season plus the off season to recover a bit. Even he wasn't fully 100% the following year at Daytona. So you figure, if anything, he might be back. This is my guess now. This is not anything I've seen, read, or heard from professionals, but I figure late August.
Hmm.
It's not like he's a 21-year-old and heals up quick, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, and yet he had a fractured leg and a fractured foot on both legs, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised his right leg was as messed up as it was because it looked like the nose of the... It looked like it was off-center more towards the driver's side that hits. I figured his left leg would have got the brunt of it, but I don't know. Maybe it's the way his leg jammed around the pedals and all that. Strange things happen when you hit something like that.
Right. So is the guy who drove his car this week, will he be staying in it? Has NASCAR announced? I mean, he did pretty well. He didn't have any practice time. He just hopped right in the car, basically.
Yeah, well, where did he finish? Matt Crafton.
The top 20, 18th. I think.
Yeah, he finished 18th.
So
he's the defending Truck Series championship, but I don't know if he's going to... run, stay in. I don't think he's going to stay in it. They might look somebody, you know, who, I don't know if we'll get it, though. They just brought up Darryl Wallace Jr. to the Nation, excuse me, Xfinity Series. Got to get used to that.
Yeah.
And if anything, he might pull some double duty here and there. They'll probably split it up. Because he has, I think the reason why they went to Kraft, and he was, matter of fact, he had left the track and was headed back to Carolina when they called him up and said, hey, we need you. But at least the truck series, they're all running in Atlanta next weekend, so they'll probably, if they're going to, they might tap in to do it again. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. You know, the only definite, I think, fill-in, I think, is Regan Smith in the 41 car.
Yeah, but they already named him. He's going to stay in that car this weekend.
But he's running for a championship. He got turned over in the Nationwide Series by the Daniel Suarez, who's one of the, Gibbs guys that are development drivers. He ran the truck race. He ran in the Nationwide race. He ran the ARCA race last weekend. Yeah, we had a nice guest on, Sarah Cornett Ching.
Okay.
Over the ARCA race last weekend. She's from British Columbia. She did pretty good. She's never been on a super speedway. She started 33rd and finished 31st, but she had fuel pump problems and was four laps down, so she might have even done better.
How old is she?
22.
Very cool.
Well, so we got some young ladies up and coming. But she's got a few years to develop. I just feel bad for lady drivers who can't get a break, even though they're good enough to.
Mm-hmm.
They need a big sponsor like GoDaddy.
Like GoDaddy, right?
But you know,
not everyone's a Danica Patrick.
Yeah, I give her credit. I did. She drove in the IndyCar series. She tried to make the switch. I think, my personal opinion, she would have been better off in the Xfinity series a couple more years to get some seasoning in. Before
what going. Did she do there? She did one season there, Vince, or not
she
even
did
a full one?
She did, I think, two partial seasons during her IndyCar stint. She was running full-time there. And she had a full season. And then she went to the Cup Series when she won the pole at Daytona. And come to think of it, makes you wonder if that wasn't rigged. Her first year in, she wins the pole. Last year, Childress brings back the three. It wins the pole. Mr. Gordon retiring, he wins the poll.
It's those the things that make you go,
It just, it's just makes you wonder. At least with the Hendrick cars, you know they're fast, so it's not out of the question. Gordon didn't win it. Johnson would have,
right?
Or Junior would have. So actually, Junior had a bad time of it, and then he got gathered up to. I think the biggest argument, speaking of, you know, was a qualifying format for the Daytona 500 for the first two spots with that practice session style that they use for regular track.
Right. I was going to ask you about that because I know Clint Bowyer, he had some words to say about that.
Yeah, he did. And then I saw somebody posted on social media where Derek Copa was apologizing to his fans and stuff, that saying that the way it was set up is the regulars were able to run together and get the speeds up, and then the slower cars couldn't get the speed, so they weren't going to have a chance to make the race. I think for the Daytona 500, they ought to go back to the old way, watch, you know, everybody does their two laps, even though it's like watching paint dry for the front row, and then go out and run the duels to figure out the next, 36 spots, and then from 38 to 43, do the provisional thing, and your best time, whoever. Actually, about 15 spots, the first 15. The race that the front row guys were in, so they figured it was taking 15 spots. If Junior and Jimmy won it, I think they bounced it down to 16, but I think it was, so you figure 32 spots, 15 and the two front row guys, there's 32 spots there, and then the rest are the next best times that didn't, that qualified out of the window on the duels, and then you had your provisionals after that. But I've never actually seen qualifying sessions since I've been down here. It used to be the old, go out and watch them take the turn around the track and then wait for the next guy and the next guy type of thing. So I don't know. Have you had a chance to see any of that yet?
I haven't. I have not, actually. I'm in the same boat as you on that one.
I know this isn't something you really want to watch on TV. I don't know how they figure it out, but I know they wanted to make qualifying more exciting for the fans and do it that way, kind of like IndyCar sessions. But even the Indy 500, they still run four-lap qualifying per car, and that's how they work the speed. So even their biggest race of the year is guys going around the track by themselves. And especially at Daytona when they can, when one car can take out the rest. They know that, you know, I makes you wonder at Talladega what's going to happen. So,
Now tell me this though, Vince. Is this new qualifying, is this going to continue through the season, or was this a Daytona, was this a super speedway type deal?
Well, I think it's actually been used last year, but not on the super speedways. This is the first time they did it at Daytona, and that's what caused that big wreck that got Clint Boyer all torqued up. Because you figure you either got to rebuild the car or get a backup out for no reason. I mean, if you're doing your two laps around Daytona by yourself and you lose it, you know, that's one thing. But to get gathered up in somebody else's mess, kind of, because it was, I think they said they were blaming it on Reed Sorensen in the 44. He lost it, and then cleaned out the back end of the field. So I don't know.
Yeah, there wasn't too many happy campers about qualifying, that's for sure.
Well, this week we go to Atlanta. I'm not surprised they're coming that far north in this weather. I'd have thought they went out to Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm sure in their brains and in their minds they were wishing they were going to Phoenix right now.
I don't remember them going to Atlanta this early last year. I don't have the schedule right in front of me to check, but I could have swore they went from Daytona, Phoenix, and then Vegas, or Vegas and then Phoenix, one of those two deals out there. But then at the end of March, and you start getting some warmer weather in.
Yeah, it is a cold one. How about where you are, Vince? What is the temp like there?
Well, we had that, what they call that, Siberian Express come through here the past few days. Was in the wind chills in the minus 20s and 30s. I think last Thursday night it was the actual temperature was minus 4 at the low point.
Okay.
And then I made a trip up north on the weekend of the 6th, and there was a nice weekend then. And then when I came back down, all hell broke loose here because it started to snow on Thursday and then Saturday. And then, you know, last week was we didn't really get hit real hard until, I think it was last Thursday we got 4 inches. Then Saturday we got another, Thursday we got about 8 to 12. Saturday we got another 4. It was supposed to flurry yesterday, but I think we wound up with close to an inch. And yesterday was warm here. We hit 50. So it melted it down, and whatever was slushy turned icy. And there we got some flurries again. I've been snowed in on top of the hill for a little bit, you know, for the past week.
Wow. Interesting. You don't really realize, like, us here, we're always in this weather, but we're not realizing that people south of us, like way south of us, are getting the same type of weather that we're experiencing here.
And we didn't want to get the driveway plowed. I got about a good tenth of a mile driveway, and it's downhill. And that's the hard part, going downhill. So we figured we'd just, hopefully it would melt by now, but the only day of warm stuff we had was yesterday, and it maybe melted an inch off it, but it's still cold. At least we had good weather when I came up for my mom's funeral to be in at the first of the month there, the weekend of the 6th. Because I took my Durango up, not knowing what the weather was going to be, in case I needed the four-wheel drive. And fortunately, I didn't. Then I came down here, and it got too deep to use it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
If
I was on level ground, it wouldn't have been a problem. I could handle anything that could land on the ground. I'm from up there. But my driveway is at an incline. I ought to get a degree of incline. Maybe I ought to find a phone app with that. But I know with the altimeter, it's 150 feet above the main road.
Oh, wow.
Elevation. I'm 150 feet up above the rest of town.
So you have a climb on your hands.
Yeah, so you figure a tenth of a mile downhill. And as you get towards the bottom, it veers right and then curves into Cross Street instead of coming down straight and going into the Cross Street, which the Cross Streets are plowed. So if I would have slid down the hill straight, I could have. But that's just it. It's that turn at the bottom that's the scary part. It's a 90-degree right-hander.
Wowzers.
I mean, I could explain it, but unless you actually see it,
it's a whole different story when you actually see it,
it's a whole different story. Well, I guess Joey Logano winning the race, he's automatically in the chase.
Yes, he is. I like it. I don't know. He's growing on me. I mean, obviously, I stick with the Penske drivers because of Brad, but I like him. I was iffy on him. I really do like Joey Logano. I think he's he's very passionate. He is very down to earth. I mean, his smile couldn't get any bigger. And the appreciation, I think, that he showed for his team, for Mr. Penske, for his family, for everybody that was involved in that win on Sunday. You know, it was such a sincere appreciation.
Yeah, the only smile that was that big or bigger was the Petties, whether it was Richard, Kyle, or Kyle's son Adam, who got killed in New Hampshire years ago. They all had that big smile. So Joey Logano's is kind of like, got that what we used to call a crap eating grin, you know, that's from ear to ear, and it stays there. So he made the chase. He made it to the final round of the chase last year, and wound up finishing third to Harvick and Newman. He would have had a better run in that last race. He could have won that and walked home with a title.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's in the chase, and that's fantastic, but I also do think that he's going to be a car to beat this season.
Oh, definitely. I think last year they were working the bugs out of it, and between him and Keselowski, they were battling for it as well, and another year under the belt, getting that Daytona win. But I've seen stranger things happen. You can either win Daytona and have a good year or not win Daytona and have a great year. But with the new win and you're in, he's guaranteed a spot, so he can concentrate more on instead of having to race for points like he used to have to in years past, concentrate on winning races. And even that has a tendency to build on it. So, well, we'll have to see what happens in Atlanta when they go back to normal tracks. So who are you looking at?
In Atlanta? I'm going with Harvick for next week's race.
Yeah, that's a pretty good bet. I want to say, I know it took Jimmy Johnson till the week before Dover to win a race last year. I'll go with him this week.
Jimmy?
Yeah, I'll go with Jimmy.
That's a good pick. I think my choice would have been, my choices were down to Jimmy or Harvick. I'm definitely going to go with Harvick. It'll be interesting. I think this season is going to be so exciting because now that everyone got used to that chase format last year and how it ended on such an exciting level, I think this year, I think people are anticipating what's going to be a very exciting, trying, happy, sad kind of year in so many different ways.
Yeah, it's going to make it interesting. Now everybody knows what to shoot for. You're going to have your guys last year wanting to get back in. And one to watch out for, I think it's going to be a dark horse because he's with a new team this year, Edwards.
Yes, I totally agree with you, 150%. And I was thinking that, actually, watching all the coverage throughout the weekend. I think he's going to definitely be.
Are we on the same wavelength again? They're scaring me.
We always are, Vince. We always are.
Well, that's good to know. Well, anyway, I guess we ought to wrap it up for this week, and we'll see who we can book for next week.
All right.
Did you ever get a chance to listen to?
I'll give you a... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Vince. I was going to tell you that I'll give you a call, same thing like I did this week. Next week, it's his last snowboarding session, and then I should be good to go with you for the season.
All righty. Sounds good. Unless they call you in to do some TV coverage.
Yeah, that's true, too. I got to think about that. But I don't have anything set up as of now, so we're good to go. So I'm looking forward to joining you on Mondays as much as I can.
Good. It's always fun. We can always... So head to head and discuss things like we have been. Oh, and back to the other subject, the only Busch in NASCAR for a while is going to be Danica Patrick. I said it was the Daytona 500, but if you look at the scheme of things.
She's on her own in that department.
So unless Kurt and Kyle have a younger brother or some other young lady can make the field, which I'd hope to see. I know I saw where Johanna Long she couldn't make it to Daytona, but she's going to be running in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series for another team, so she should be getting a chance there. And then in the NHRA, did you ever get a chance to catch the Erica Enders from a couple weeks ago?
I did. I watched it. I watched it. I listened to it. Here I am. I'm my news girl in me. Watched it. I absolutely did. It was fantastic. I hope we can have her on this year because she's really fun to talk to.
Chelsea said she'd come on anytime we asked, barring flight travel. That's why I said, well, you think I should move the show to Tuesdays? Might work out better for everybody.
So. Yeah, true.
Because you figure the Cup guys get off on Monday. They, you know, they're all wore out from driving and traveling, so they probably shut their PR people shut them down. It's a little hard to get. But we'll see what happens. It's early in the year. I'm not into that Tuesday kind of groove, and this week being Tuesday is usually grocery shopping day. And it's a little hard. And it's getting to the point where we got to get out. So to do that, I'd have to switch grocery shopping to Monday so I could switch the show to Tuesday. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've been grocery shopping being snowed in this week, so I'm getting ready to eat the cats.
You're going to have a full shopping cart.
Full cart. More than a full. I think it was going to be a Sam's flat, one of them flatbeds. it's always fun talking to you. I missed you the past few weeks.
I know. I missed you too, definitely. I'm glad I can come back on with the. It's crazy. Being a mom is a hard job, Ben.
That's why I'm not. I never tried to be one. First, you got to lug that thing around inside you. Then you got to squirt it out, which hurts.
Speaking of that, tomorrow just happens to be my little man's birthday.
Oh, well, tell him happy birthday for him.
I will. So right about now, about 9 years ago, Vince, I was in some serious pain.
Did you go au naturel or epidural?
I attempted the all natural. I went for about a little over 20 hours, no pain medicine. And my doctor forced me into a C-section because of some circumstances that were going on and some particular little man named Nathan not wanting to make an entrance into the world without a fight. So
either that or his head was too big for the area to go through.
I don't know what it was, but he didn't want to come out. He figured, you know what, I am comfortable and warm and everything else in here, so.
Go in and get him.
So, yes, and so tomorrow's his birthday. He's a big 9 years old, so being a mom is tough, but being a mom is also very rewarding.
Time thing that all the stuff you got to do by yourself that would probably be, I don't know, I would want somebody to share that duty with, so, but I'm a lazy guy, so what do I know?
Yeah, it gets tough. It gets rough sometimes by yourself, but it's worth it in the end, and him and I have a fantastic relationship, so, you know, just sometimes it impedes on things I want to do, like come on the show with you.
Well, that's okay. At least it's flexible here, and you got your stuff to do up there. It's not like it's around the corner, so. If it was around the corner, it'd be a different story.
Right.
I could do the show basically from anywhere that's got a power and an internet connection. Or a cell connection, actually. The internet's just for the data. Here's how I run this. I run it through a mixer, and then I run the mixer through my smartphone.
Oh, okay. Technology.
And then to work the board, that's actually the computer part.
So you run the audio and some of the videos and stuff off of basically off your computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I control like when I bring you on the air or guests, and I just go to the what's called the studio and click on the little microphones to bring them up.
Very cool.
It's neat how it all works.
Technology is an amazing thing.
There's even a chat window, but that's too much for me to do that, talk and flip through data.
Yeah, you need like four extra hands.
or somebody across the table from me as a producer, but then it's hard to screen a call. Well, you actually need somebody at another site to play producer, because then you wouldn't be able to. They can go screen the call while without disrupting somebody talking. Like if you and I were on the air and somebody third party was out playing producer, they could screen the calls, even though we could look at them and see who's coming in and handle all that stuff.
Yeah, right. Very interesting. Well, thanks again, Vince, for welcoming me back once again. I'm excited to be able to chat racing with you.
Well, it's always good to have you, and we'll do the same thing next week. I guess we'll catch you about the 8:30 slot.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, next week is right now his tentative, well, Monday and Tuesday, but next Monday is the last Monday. So I'll give you a ring when I get back into cell service, I should say. And we'll chat about Atlanta.
Yeah. So let's see if your guy wins or my guy wins or how close we come anyway.
All right, you got it.
You got Harvick. I got Johnson.
We will see what happens.
Go. All right, Kristen. Just want to say goodnight to you. Go tuck him in if he ain't passed out already. And go get some rest.
All right. Yep, he's waiting for me, so I'm going to go take care of him. And I will be talking to you soon. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And good night to everyone as well.
And I'm Vince Bonfigley. Good night and good racing.